Discover why we should forgive and forget today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe.
God has thrown your sins away from Him, an infinity away from Him, because once He has forgiven you, He never goes back to your past to accuse you about your present. And when the Bible talks about not remembering, you cannot forget, but you can choose not to remember.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Mark, as you know, God has called us to be in community with one another, and that means being healthy with each other, and part of being healthy is forgiving each other.
You know, Wayne, someone once said Christianity would be easy if it weren't for people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the toughest part about living out our Christian faith is our relationship with other people. And forgiveness is a central message of Jesus, the apostles, and Scripture. Unless we get a grip on that, we will be dragging baggage. And some people right now, as I'm talking, you are crippled because you have not been able to fully understand how to implement forgiveness, release forgiveness. And so I think this message is going to be important.
It's very important. Today's message is from our series, Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation. Here's Mark Jobe with today's Bold Steps.
I heard just this past week about a minister that was preaching in a church, and there was a little old lady in her 80s in the front row. And he was asking a question. He said, how many of you have had to forgive enemies in the past? You've had enemies and you've had to forgive them. And about 70% of the crowd raised their hand. He said, come on, be honest with me. How many of you have had to forgive enemies recently? And then almost all of them raised their hands, except this little old lady that was in the front. And he said, hey, sister, you don't have any enemies to forgive. There's no one in your life that you have to forgive. And she just smiled and nodded her head like that. He said, come on stage now. You're 89 years old, and tell us, how can you be 89 and have no enemies in your life that you have to forgive? He was expecting some profound insight, and she simply said, I outlived them all. So this morning, if you're younger and you still haven't outlived all your enemies and all the people that have hurt you in life, well, this message is for you, because I'm sure that every person in this auditorium, at one time or another, there's people that we have to forgive. It's not if we get hurt, it's when we get hurt. It's not if someone's going to do something bad to us, it's when someone's going to do something bad to us. There's not a person in this place that hasn't been offended, hurt by someone in their life, probably this week or last week, or at least within the last month, that kind of thing has happened to you. So I want to talk to you about what God has to say about forgiveness, because there's a lot of misconception, I believe, about the idea of forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian believers, and he says this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander to be put away from you, along with all malice. Verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Here it goes. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. He's talking about anger and bitterness and wrath. And in essence, he says the antidote to anger, bitterness, and wrath is forgiveness. What happens when you don't forgive people is that walls are built up relationally. There may be a marriage here today that, although you live under the same roof and although you share the same bed, maybe it's been a long time since there's been oneness in your heart because one of you got hurt or offended by the other. And instead of really dealing with the issue, you simply swept it under the rug. And although you feel like it's you've dealt with the issue, you really haven't. There's bitterness on one side or the other. So therefore, you feel like something's wrong with your marriage. You can't put your finger on it. But maybe, just maybe, it's because one or the other of you has not yet forgiven your spouse. Maybe some of you have forgiven, but you feel that a year ago or 6 months ago or 2 years ago you forgave someone, but after you forgave them, it seems like those same feelings crept back into your heart. You said, I forgave them, I released them, I said, okay, it's over, I'm not going to hold them anymore in debtor's prison, but you woke up a few months later, and maybe you saw them again, or maybe they said something again, or maybe some of the consequences of what happened to you surfaced again, and you feel the same bitterness, the same anger starting to raise in your heart again, and you say, I thought I forgave them, but maybe I haven't really forgiven them because I feel the same kind of anger and resentment in my heart, so I'm not sure, did I forgive them or did I not forgive them? How many of you that has happened to you? You forgive someone, and then a little bit down the road, it seems like the same anger, same bitterness pops up again. Because what you need to understand is that forgiveness is not just a one-time event. Forgiveness is a process. Now, I want to speak specifically to you today about how to maintain forgiveness when my hurt is still there. How do you maintain forgiveness? How do you keep your forgiveness when you still feel the pain of what's been done to you? And I realize, having said this, that some of you have just come out of very painful things. Maybe you went through a divorce a year ago, and it was a nasty, ugly divorce in which you were very hurt, and maybe your kids were the pawns right in between it. Maybe someone at your job gossiped, lied against you, did something to you that you're still recovering from. Maybe you had a father that abandoned you when you were 12 years old and never saw from him at all, and then he tries to introduce himself into your life when you're 30 years old, and you say, I want to have nothing to do with this man. You weren't there when I needed you. Why should I talk to you now? Maybe you have an uncle that sexually molested you when you were 7 or 8 years old. No one's ever known about it. You confronted him when you were older. He denied it, and there's this anger and bitterness against him. Maybe you've been involved in a marriage, and your marriage hasn't been the best marriage. Maybe your spouse was unfaithful to you, and you found out about it. Maybe both of you have been unfaithful to each other, and there's the resentment or bitterness right there in your life. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons that we get hurt in our life. But I want you to know this. That forgiveness is not necessarily for the person that's offended you, but forgiveness is necessary for your health and well-being. Are you tracking with me? Sometimes we think, well, the other person doesn't deserve to be forgiven because maybe they haven't repented, or maybe they haven't acknowledged what they did wrong. But I want you to understand that forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you and your relationship with God. It has nothing to do with that other person. It has to do with you releasing that other person in your heart. Because the person that suffers the most because of your unforgiveness is not that person that offended you, but it's you that suffer the most by living with unforgiveness. That's huge. So, how do I maintain forgiveness when I still hurt in my heart? I'm going to give you 4 principles this morning. I want you to write these down if you're taking notes, or remember these, because these are life-changing principles that literally can alter the course of your life if you put them into practice. If we're going to forgive the way that God forgives, the first thing that we need to do, if we're going to maintain our forgiveness, is we need to make a choice not to bring to mind the offense of the forgiven person. It tells us in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, the second part of the verse. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. God is speaking about us. He forgives our wickedness, and he says, and then I choose not to remember your sins. Isaiah 43:25, God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. How many of you have ever heard the expression, forgiving and forgetting? And how many of you have ever said, hey, I'll forgive, but I won't forget? Okay, how many of you have, some of you have used that. And here's the thing. You say, well, do I need to forgive and forget? Is it biblical to forgive and forget? Let me explain that for a second, because I believe it's a bit of a misnomer. I don't believe that you can forgive and forget, because forgetting is something that happens to you. You can't forget something on purpose, because the more you try to forget it, the more you remember it. You can't just erase memories unless you have amnesia. Or you're getting a little old and things start to slip a little bit and you start forgetting things. And some of you are saying, well, maybe when I get old, I'll be able to forget what happened to you. But right now, I remember it very clearly. So when you say, Pastor, forget, or don't remember, I can't do that because I remember it as though it happened to me yesterday. I'm trying to forgive that person, but every time I see that person, it reminds me of what they did to me. Or it reminds me of the money they owe to me. Or it reminds me of how they cheated on me. Or it reminds me of the words they said about me. So I'm trying to forget, but I can't. Well, let me relieve you of that. Don't try to forget anymore, because you can't. It never says that God forgets our sin. What it says is it says that God doesn't remember our sin. Now, what's the difference between not remembering our sin and forgetting? Forgetting is something passive. It's something that happens to you when your memory lapses. Choosing not to remember is an act of the will.
This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to Mark Jobe. We'll get back into the second half of today's message in just a moment. Please stay with us. Well, Mark, as you've been saying, staying connected is so important, but so is sharing the gospel. And when you combine the two, you get the premise of a new movie that's coming out tonight. It's the first showing of this limited-run movie.
And we are so excited about this movie. It's called The Ends of the Earth, and it captures the essence of missionary pilots going through the jungles, their stories, what it means, but not just a harrowing aviation experience, but carrying the gospel through aviation. And Moody's had a real integral part in that.
Yeah, I was going to say, the connection with Moody is the fact that many of those pilots were trained by Moody.
That's right. We're so proud of Moody Aviation in Spokane, Washington currently. So if you would like to see a gospel film that in a powerful way captures the story of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, that's happening today.
Yeah.
This is the release of it.
Yeah, so it's going to be shown tonight in theaters at 7 p.m. I'll give the website in a moment where you can put your zip code in and find a theater and the time. But it's also going to be on Thursday evening. So you have a chance, if you can't go tonight, you can go Thursday night perhaps. Be spontaneous. Go to this movie, right? Go to theendsoftheearthmovie.com. This is a great opportunity to support a great filmmaking project.
It is, and I want to encourage you, there's not a lot of Christian films that make it into theaters. This is one of those. So invite some friends, go out there, make it a party. You will enjoy it.
Yeah. Now, just before we return to your message, you know this is Monday, Mark. So a lot of listeners got the Bold Stepper Weekly in their email box this morning, and we want to encourage more listeners to sign up.
Yeah, so if you want to hear updated news like what we just talked about, the ends of the earth, or just a devotional thought or some personal comments, then I would encourage you to sign up like so many are doing to the Bold Stepper Weekly. It'll come to your inbox every Monday morning at 5 a.m. So turn off your little ding.
Or earlier, depending on where you live.
There
right?
you go.
All right. Okay. The Bold Stepper Weekly. Sign up at boldstepsradio.org. Thanks, Mark. Let's get back into your message now. How to maintain your forgiveness.
Let's say that your memory is like a big filing cabinet. And you have all your childhood memories in this drawer. You open it up and remember all the childhood things. The day you went to the ballpark, the day you graduated, you close that. You have all your marriage memories here, your high school memories, close that. You have all the other memories here, you close that. So you have all your memories stacked there, kind of like a filing system. And when you want to remember something, you get together with some old friends and you're just talking about your high school days and how you, what you did and your activities. And you pull out that filing system. Have you ever done that? Ran into an old high school buddy and then you start talking about the good old days and what you did and how you skipped classes and who was dating who and the things you did, the crazy things, the music you listened to and whatever happened to so-and-so. And you pull out that file and you start going through it and you laugh and it's a fun file and you close it. Well, with our hurts, it's the same thing. Some of you, you're married, and when you get into a fight, the husband starts losing. And so he says, hold on a second. You go back to that file, and 2 years back, you pull out that file, you review it a little bit, and say, you know, 2 years ago, I remember when you did this to me and that to me and that to me, and you did this and that and the other. And if she has a good answer, you go back to your file and say, oh, okay, 10 years ago when we were dating, I remember that you did this and that and the other. And we pull out our filing system, we look over, we keep track of it, and we use that as ammunition in our fighting. Now, don't act like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. No, I know. I know you know what I'm talking about. Our memories are like file systems. We pull them out and we review them. Now, what God is saying to us, and have you ever noticed how it seems like women have a better memory than men do when it comes to conversations? I'll talk to husbands, say their wives will say, you said this, and I said this, and they said that, and we said this, and do you remember that conversation? And the husband will say, no. You need to ask, like, hey, do you remember the car we were driving? Oh, yeah, I remember that car. You don't remember the conversation, but he remembers the car. But what God is telling you to do is that when you forgive someone for something that happened in the past, God is saying that you take that filing cabinet of your memory and that you close it and that you lock it and that you put a sign on the outside that says, do not touch. And if you've already forgiven that person for something they did to you, if you're in the middle of a fight and you're tempted to go back to what's happened in the past, you go to that filing cabinet, you're about to open it, and you say, oh yeah, I forgave them. You are not allowed to go back in that file, review it again, rehearse it again, and bring it against them. What God says he does, God doesn't have amnesia. God doesn't forget anything, but God chooses not to remember. He doesn't go to that file. He doesn't pull it up. He doesn't bring an accusation against you. In fact, God says that he has thrown your sins as far as the east is from the west. You know how far the east is from the west? Infinity. And God has thrown your sins away from him, an infinity away from him, because once he has forgiven you, he never goes back to your past to accuse you about your present. And when the Bible talks about not remembering, you cannot forget, but you can choose not to remember. You see, a lot of us, what we do is we dwell on our hurt. We hang out in Hurtsville. We go out and we hang out there and we get into this self-pity party and you did all this to me. And the longer you hang out in Hurtsville, the angrier you get. And God says if you have forgiven, you're not allowed to go there and you're not allowed to rehearse what happens to you. So, number one, if you're going to continue to maintain your forgiveness, you need to determine in your heart that I make a choice not to remember those things that I've already forgiven. That means that once you've forgiven them, listen, they're off limits. You do not bring them up again. You don't rehearse them. You don't think about them. You don't bring them up because they are forgiven. I love what Clara Barton said. She was the founder of the American Red Cross. And one day she was reminded by one of her coworkers about a vicious deed that someone had done to her years ago. And she acted as if she didn't even remember the deed. And her friend said to her, "Now come on, don't you remember what happened?" And she said, "I distinctly remember forgetting it." I like that. I distinctly remember forgetting it. I remember choosing not to remember it. Second thing, I'm talking about how to maintain your forgiveness. When painful thoughts do come to mind, you need to learn to redirect your thinking. How many of you know that oftentimes there are things in your life that trigger a painful thought or memory? Maybe you think you've forgiven your mother and you say, "All right, you know, my mom was really critical and she got on my case. I never felt like I could measure up to her, but I've forgiven her." You have a powerful service. You come to the altar. You say, "Mom, you're forgiven." You open up your hand. You release her and you feel like I've forgiven her. And you're doing pretty good for a while. Then you go to a family gathering and you're washing dishes at a family gathering after the barbecue, and you're washing some dishes, and your mom leans over to you and says, "Honey, make sure you get the bottom of the cup. You know, I think you forgot that." And then suddenly all those critical words, like "you never measure up, never done things right," it's a flashback. It's like, "Mom, you're still telling me, I'm 45 years old and you're still telling me how to wash the dishes?" "Well, honey, I'm not trying to say anything, but I know you're used to dishwasher, and you know, this is, you got to wash my hand, make sure you get all the stuff at the bottom of the cup." And boom! And suddenly, a little thing about washing dishes becomes a major volcano. You know why? Because although you have forgiven, there's trigger points that cause hurt and pain in your life because it brings back all the memories of all the accusations, of all the struggle that you had before. The only way of being able to overcome that is that when hurtful memories come your way, you have to determine to redirect your thinking. Let me say this about thinking. Some of us think that we cannot control our thinking. And a lot of people act like their thoughts control them. And I want to say a biblical understanding of this is that you determine where your thoughts go. In fact, I love what it tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It's talking about anxiety and anxious thinking. And after the Apostle Paul talks to the Philippians believers about their anxious thinking, in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, listen, think about these things." Whatever your mind dwells on the most is who you start becoming the most.
You're listening to Mark Jobe here on Bold Steps, and you can learn more about Mark and this ministry when you visit us at boldstepsradio.org. While you're there, be sure to check out our latest Bold Step gift, a book written by Dr. Henry Blackaby called Experiencing the Cross. And once again, here's Mark to tell us a little more about the book.
Our experience of the gospel is supposed to be just that, an experience. But sometimes we get stuck just going through the motions while we hope for that breakthrough that never seems to come. And in a book entitled Experiencing the Cross, Dr. Henry Blackaby shows us how to re-engage with God in a real and intimate way by turning our attention to the very moment He saved us. Through his clear and stirring examination of Christ's sacrifice, Dr. Blackaby equips us to go deeper in our walk with faith and unlock an experience with God that many of us have yet to discover. To request your copy, simply reach out to one of our team members and ask for your copy of Experiencing the Cross, Your Greatest Opportunity for Victory. This book is yours with a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. And to those of you who are already partnering with us this month, thank you. You really make a difference, and your gifts are helping us bring the life-changing truth of the gospel to people literally all over this country, and for that, I am sincerely grateful.
Indeed we are. Thank you, Mark. To send your donation in the mail, write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Once again, 820 North LaSalle, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Or if you'd prefer to give us a call, the number to dial is 844-615-7363. Or give and request the book Experiencing the Cross when you go online to boldstepsradio.org. Your partnership will allow us to continue broadcasting on your local radio station every day, as well as helping us to branch out into new markets across the country and the world. And when you give a gift of $30 or more each month, we'll send you a link for 50% off any book, CD, DVD, or Bible study in the entire Moody Publishers catalog. You'll also get a signed copy of Mark's book, Unstuck, and a personal exclusive communication design just for you. Become a Bold partner today by going to boldstepsradio.org. And then don't forget, you can also listen to Mark's daily program no matter what you're doing or where you go. Just download the Moody Radio app to your favorite smart device and you're all set. It takes just a couple of minutes to download the app, and you can learn more when you visit boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Thanks for joining us today. Be sure to come back tomorrow when Mark continues this message on forgiveness. It's from our series, Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation, and it's coming up Tuesday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.